told me, an old maxim of my own, albeit directed somewhat differently. In politics and battle, our big weapon will have to be showmanship. She was coming to life. I think those brown guys pissed her off. She was right. Showmanship and craft, even more than traditionally, would have to be our tools. If we were to meet and beat the veteran armies commanded by the Shadow Masters, we would have to gain our triumphs inside the imaginations of enemy soldiers. It takes ages to create a force with the self-confidence to go slug it out despite the odds. Despite our being late, the Prabhrindra Dra was a gracious host. He treated us to a dinner the likes of which I have no hope of seeing again. Afterward, he laid on the entertainment. Dancing girls, sword swallowers, illusionists, musicians whose work my ear found too alien to appreciate. He was in no hurry to get to an answer of which he was confident. During the afternoon, Swan introduced me to several score of Taglios's leading men, including Jahamaraj Ja. I told Ja I would look at his daughter as soon as I could. The gratitude in the man's face was embarrassing. Otherwise, I paid no attention to those men. I had no intention of dealing with or through them. The time came. We were invited out of the crowd into a private chamber. Because I had brought two of my lieutenants, the Prabhrindra did the same. One was that codger Smoke, whom the prince introduced by title. That translated out as Lord of the Guardians of Public Safety, and that turned out to mean he was boss of the city fire brigade. Only one eye failed to keep a straight face. The Prabhrindra's other lieutenant was his enigmatic sister. Put them together, and it was obvious she was older and probably tougher than he. Even dressed up, she looked like she had been ridden hard and put away wet. When the Prabhrindra asked about my companions, I introduced Mogaba as my commander of infantry and Lady as my chief of staff. The idea of a woman soldier amazed him. I wondered how much more amazed he would be if he knew her history. She concealed surprise at the designation, as much for her benefit as the Prabhrindra's. I said, "There's nobody in the company more qualified, with the possible exception of the captain. Each post is filled on merit." Swan was doing the translating. He skirted the edge of the Prabhrindra's reply, which I think actually suggested limited agreement. His sister seemed to be his brain trust. "To the point," I told Swan. "Time is too tight if we're going to stop an invasion." Swan smiled. "Then you're going to accept the commission?" "You never doubted it for a second, you jackal." "Don't get your hopes too high, man. I'm going to make a counter-offer. Its terms won't be negotiable." Swan's smile vanished. "I don't understand." "I've looked at the land. I've talked with my people. Despite the lay, most of them want to go on. We know what we have to do to get to Katovar, meaning we'll consider doing the job your prince wants done. But we won't try it except on our terms. Tell him that. Then I'll give him the sad news." Swan translated. The Prabhrindra did not look happy. His sister looked like she wanted a fight. Swan faced me.
"Let's have it."
"If I'm supposed to run an army that I'll have to build from scratch, I want to have the power to do it. I want to be the boss. No interference from anybody. No political